Chapter 3. A New Start. I wanted to be in a new house with new faces, and so I advertised for work as a governess in the Herald newspaper. The following week, a letter came from a Mrs. Fairfax at Thornfield Hall. She was looking for a governess to teach a little girl. Thornfield Hall was near the town of Millcote, 70 miles south of Lowood. I wrote a letter to Mrs. Fairfax about my work at Lowood. Mrs. Fairfax wrote back the next week and gave me the job. I decided to write to Mrs. Reed to tell her my new address, but she did not write back to me. I excitedly began to get ready for the journey. On my last day, I had a surprise visit from Bessie. Life was difficult at Gateshead, she told me. John Reed was behaving badly, and he was spending a lot of his mother's money. Mrs. Reed was very unhappy about it.
Did she send you here, Bessie? I asked.
No, she replied. I have wanted to see you for a long time. When your aunt got your letter and I heard that you were going to a different part of the country, I thought I must come to see you. I have to tell you something, Bessie continued. One day, nearly 7 years ago, your father's brother, Mr. Eyre, came to Gateshead and asked to see you. When he heard that you were 50 miles away, he was very unhappy. He was going to live in Madeira, and his ship was sailing the next day. He wore nice clothes and looked like he was quite rich, but Mrs. Reed did not like him very much. She never wrote to you about his visit, did she?
No, I replied slowly.
Bessie and I talked for another hour, and then she had to go. The next morning, I left for Thornfield Hall. The journey to Millcote by carriage took 16 hours. It was autumn, and I was very cold when I finally arrived late in the evening. At Millcote, I was met by a man called John, who drove me in a smaller carriage to Thornfield. As we left the lights of the town behind, I began to feel worried. Was Mrs. Fairfax like Mrs. Reed? We passed a church, and I saw the lights of a village ahead. After 2 hours, John got down and opened some gates, and in front of us stood a huge stone house. I could see the light of a candle in one of its windows. The other windows were dark. We stopped in front of the house, and a young woman, a servant, came out and led me inside. I followed her into a small, comfortable room with a bright fire. A grey-haired woman sat in front of it, but she stood up and came forward when I entered.
"How are you, my dear?"
she said in a kind voice.
"I'm Mrs. Fairfax. Oh, you must be very cold. John drives so slowly. This is Leah," she said, and she pointed to the servant. "She will take your bags to your room. Now, come to the fire while I get you some food."
I feel like a guest, not a governess, I thought happily after she went out. I wasn't expecting this. She came back a few minutes later with a tray of sandwiches.
"Will I see Miss Fairfax tonight?" I asked. "Miss Fairfax?" she said. And then she smiled. "Oh, you mean your student, Miss Varon. You will meet her tomorrow. Oh, it will be nice to have a friend here. I get quite sad sometimes. The nights can be very long.
But little Adele came here in the autumn, and now you are here too. I shall be quite happy.
I felt very happy too when I heard these words.
But you have had a long journey and you must be very tired, she said.
We can talk more tomorrow.
I woke the next morning in a bright little bedroom with large windows and blue curtains. It was very different to the grey walls of Lowood. I put on a black dress and walked out into a long corridor. It led me to some stairs and down into a huge hall with open doors. Outside, it was a beautiful autumn morning. I went outside and looked up at Thornfield Hall. It had three floors, and around it was a garden and large fields.
"How do you like Thornfield?" said a voice, and I turned to see Mrs. Fairfax. She smiled at me.
"I like it very much," I replied.
"Yes, it is a pretty place," she said.
"But Mr. Rochester should visit it more. Great houses need their owners."
"Mr. Rochester?" I said. "Who is he? I thought that you owned Thornfield."
She laughed loudly at that.
"What a strange idea! I just look after the house. Mr. Edward Rochester owns Thornfield Hall."
"And the little girl, my student?" I asked.
"Her parents are dead, and she is now Mr. Rochester's ward."
"Oh, and here Adele comes now with her nurse." I turned to see a little girl running up the garden, followed by a young nurse. The girl was about 7 or 8 years old, with a pale face and long brown hair.
"Good morning, Miss Adele," said Mrs. Fairfax. "Come and speak to your teacher."
"C'est là, ma gouvernante,"
said the girl to her nurse, pointing at me. Her nurse replied in French.
"Adele was born in France and only came here 6 months ago with her nurse," Mrs. Fairfax explained. "She can only speak a little English. But you were taught French at Lowood, so you will understand her well, I hope."
After breakfast, Adele and I went to the library. She was a good student, but lessons were new for her, and she could not sit down for long. When noon came, I sent her back to her nurse. I decided to do some drawing and started walking towards my bedroom to get my pencils. While I was going upstairs, Mrs. Fairfax called up to me,
"Have your morning lessons finished?"
I turned back and found her in a beautiful room with tall paintings and a huge window.
"What a beautiful room," I said. "And you keep it so tidy, even when no one is living here."
"This is the drawing room. It is cleaned every day, because I never know when Mr. Rochester is coming," she explained. "He always expects his house to be ready for him."
"Do you like him?" I asked.
"Oh, yes," she replied. "All the land around here has belonged to the Rochesters for years. People like him, but he is a bit strange. I never know when he is joking and when he is being serious. He has travelled and seen a lot of the world."
We left the drawing room and she showed me the rest of the house. We went through the rooms at the front of the house, and then I followed her up some stairs and along a long corridor.
The rooms on the second floor were smaller, with older furniture.
Do the servants sleep in these rooms? I asked.
No, she replied. John and his wife, Mary, sleep at the back of the house. So does Leah. No one sleeps in these rooms.
Just then, there was a strange laugh from the attic above our heads.
Mrs. Fairfax, did you hear that laugh? I said. Who was it?
Yes, I heard it, she replied. It was Grace Poole. She sews in the attic. Sometimes Leah stays in the attic with her. Then she shouted, Grace!
I heard feet coming downstairs from the attic. Then the door nearest me opened and a woman came out. She was between 30 and 40 and had a hard, plain face.
Too much noise, Grace, said Mrs. Fairfax.
The woman nodded her head and went upstairs again. When we finally went back downstairs, Adele came running to meet us, and we went into Mrs. Fairfax's room, where our dinner was ready for us.